Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 7:50 Central African time, at the time of the morning where we join our very own Ahmad Parak on his segment, Straight Talk. Straight Talk with Councillor Ahmad Parak. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me how you're doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners on a Sunday morning, beautiful Sunday morning. Also, it's light drizzle in Durban. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with a little bit of rain last night as well as just a light drizzle this morning, Shafat. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, cool, calm and collected, our Ahmad Parak. Let's get into kafan dafan. You know, people say, okay, I mean, ideal weather to even go to the Kabristan, you know, and go and read and make dua for the deceased, Ahmad?
Jee, Shafar, at the moment, it is very, very quiet. Only one issue we have with the government, where we cannot get enough DNA from in Pretoria. That is a problem that a lot of our brothers that who have got insurance against the deceased parents and family, and they managed to get the post-mortem report, but unfortunately we cannot get DNA results because the insurance company do not pay unless you get a proper DNA report. So that is holding us back, but alhamdulillah, I'm taking it up with the department and see how best we can help those families, because some of them are actually dependent on the monies that is supposed to have come from, you know, although insurance is haram, but, you know, this is my work. People come to me, they need assistance. We have to go and help them and get the DNA test results from Pretoria. So we are moving, we're fighting on behalf of these families to get the DNA report quick as possible. That's one of the issues. And the other issue is, as you know, in the last month, 2 months, we got a lot of paupers' bodies, that unclaimed bodies, which we call, it is piling up at the mortuaries, and that is also causing a big havoc for us in terms of space, because unless you get the DNA report, so that you cannot bury them. So some of them are lying there from 2018, 2019, 2020. So this is a problem that we are faced with. So inshallah, you know, because I'm there under the auspices of the Undertakers Forum, I'm taking these matters up very seriously and getting these paupers buried quick as possible, Shukran.
Looking at a message here, and it's from Moin. Moin says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad Parak. I'd like to bring to your attention that there's a lot of foreigners are killing each other in the Point area, and these stories are not making headlines. Why is this so? It's always be giving wrong information. Now it makes us frightened to even go to that area called the Wheel. How do you respond to our brother there, Ahmad?
Shafat, that area is talking about the Point area. It's gone very, very grey at the moment. And there's a lot of foreign nationals, especially from various countries, as well as you get a lot of Nigerians that are operating in that area for mainly drugs and all that. And it is gone grey. Sometimes you will get some murders that takes place in that Point area. It's not brought to the media, but it has been reported, because any murders that take place in the country has to be reported and a case docket has been opened for that murder. So far as that is concerned, the legal aspect has been taken care of, but maybe they don't put it in the media for whatever reason, with Allah knows best. But you know, most cases, especially when you get dabbing and murders and all, do come in a prison. But in some cases, it may be so much of, you know, every minute there's one murder taking place in the country. So, you know, sometimes it might be, you might miss one or two murders that you know, the journalist has not put it in the paper, Shukran.
Yes, looking at this message, Ibrahim says, Jazakallah khairah for an informed program. Really enjoyed the segment with Adam Kamda. And Ahmad is someone that we look forward to. Straight Talk is also a winner, Brother Shafaat. Please, Ahmad, I know when I was a lighty, I used to go to Ambilo Road and enjoy those parks there. Now those parks, beautiful parks indeed, have become hazard grounds to be at. Why has Ambilo been captured also? The whole of Ambilo seems like it's a red light district. How true is that, Ahmed? Ibrahim, the reporting here?
Jafar, you know, you must understand that a lot of people have come from the rural area for greener pastures. The government, in fact, we took a decision in our conference, Action SA conference in Joburg this week, where we had a 3-day conference, that one of the things that we have to do when we get into, you know, when we in national government next year, is to start building up the rural area where you're going to be putting up schools, where you're going to be putting up crash shopping centers, all the infrastructure, what you have in a city, you need to put there and put industries in the area. So the people from the rural area don't come into the city. That's why you'll see our city has gone gray now, because a lot of people from the city has come from the rural area has come now to the city for mainly job opportunities and all. Because in the rural side is only two things you can do. Either you can do farming or you can do poultry or livestock and all that. That's the only thing you can do in the rural. So we are saying, let's build the whole rural area for the community so they don't come out. You know, in the old days, you used to have decentralized area. You had Setebe, Ladysmith, Newcastle, Hammersgate. They kept the people. They put industries there. They put shopping centers in that area so the people don't have to come out to the city to come and do the buying. Or maybe they come for visiting, or they come to the seashores or something like that, they will be able to come. But it must be self-sufficient for them for schooling and everything. That is the problem. Now, they don't have in the rural areas, you've got no universities, you've got no proper schooling facilities. That's why they have to come to Durban. And that's how Durban is getting overpopulated, as well as then you've got your foreign nationals. And that is the problem that we are faced. We were not yet in the government. You know, I've only been, November 1st will be the second year in municipality I'm serving. But when you see that Ambilo area and all gone gray, we cannot cope with all, you know, we've got electricity problem. We have got sewage problem. We've got water problem. We're losing like 51% of our water because of our whole system can't take it. Like you taking a truck can only hold 4 tons, but you put 8 tons in it. Shafar, what happens to that vehicle? It breaks down, your axle goes, your tire pressures cannot hold it anymore, your engine, you're damaging your gearbox. So this is the problem that we're faced with. Now, more people came into Spingo Beach, where Spingo Beach was only for 1,500 people. Now you've got 5,000 people there. So it must have an impact on the system in that area. This is the problem that we face. So this is what happened to our parks, our soccer field, our swimming pool, our infrastructure, water, sewage, all the things, and it hasn't been serviced for so many years. That is the problem that we have. The impact now, we cannot cope anymore. That's the problem.
Ahmed, you're a genius. Why are you making me cry? Because you and I grew up as light easier, right? We enjoyed the soccer field, the tennis field. We went into the ocean. We swam in the swimming pool. And we had it all cozy. And, you know, enjoyed leaving the posy for this beach and so forth. As you said, the infrastructure. Come and look at Spingo Beach. Come and drive on Delta Road. Every square mile, there is a concrete jungle coming up. So much. But how come the municipality is allowing all these concrete jungles to come up? Because a man of yours, you spoke now was Huck. I mean, it's a Pingo Beach is built on sea sand. And how much of concrete jungle can it take? Ahmed?
You know, I answered your question in my summary when that brother asked about Ambilo, and I summed it up so nicely for you. You know, when you're putting an 8-ton, a 4-ton truck, you're putting 8 tons.
Too good.
And that's what happens. So
too
at the
good.
End of the day, this is what is happening. And you know what? People want to, and they will insist that they want to build. Now the government has now taken a decision. Therefore, you will find parks and areas, they call it DMOS, So you cannot build there. You'll have to still pay there. Although you're owning the land, but you still have to pay the rates and all, yet you can't do anything about that land. You have bought it, it's registered under your company owned on yourself. But you cannot put a house there, you can't do anything because they keep it for demos. Now, demos, if you take demos out, demos is many trees and plants and everything to give you for the environment, for the climate change and all that. If you take all that out, Shafat, we will have major problems because you need trees, you need all the plants in order to give oxygen, you need air pollution and all these things help, Shafat.
Well, I'm coming by you. You're going to write to a letter there. Shafaz Khan got half an acre land, demos. He hasn't touched it. He left it for the monkeys. He left it for the hadidas. He left it for the green mambas. He left it for all these other things there so that, then you know what, it adds to the environment. I even told all, my neighbors and all, you're not touching this. But chef, you can, I said, not building here. This is for ecological purposes. And every morning I can get in fresh air, so I can talk to Councillor Ahmed Parak. Ahmed, looking at a question, eh? I see there's a, it says, Assalamu alaikum, chef. How's it? You and Munro, both are my buddies. I want to tell Ahmed about the John Dolls. Do you know the John Doll in Spingo Beach, Ahmed? They're running a mock. They're getting fed by the Christians, by the Muslims, by the Hindus. And now I believe that in the John Dolls, Motor Assemblies is giving them a free T-shirts, giving them clothes and blankets and many other things. These people got it cozy. They will never leave this place for anything. How are they going to go when the life is so easy for them? Ahmed, how you respond to our buddy here?
Shafaz, our buddy, we need to tell him very. Firstly, there's 600 informal settlements, which we call John Dolls, number one. Recently, that John Dolls got burned, about 120 of those John Dolls. And they have demarcated an area somewhere near, just before Ilongo, to move all those people there. There was 500 million allocated, Chapat. Listen to this very, very carefully. 500 million allocated for those John Dolls to be for low-cost housing. Now, that money came through to the city. They didn't do anything about it, Chapat, and that money, now Treasury took that money back. Now, this is who we're dealing with. We're dealing with an ANC government. They don't know what they are doing. So the money came in. Now, you got a prescribed period to use that money. From 1st July to the 30th of June, you don't do anything. The national government, because they do audit on it, that money was earmarked for low-cost housing. It has been given. That is one aspect point. Then, the national government also gave us grant in aid because of all the flooding last year, as well as also they gave us grant in aid for the looting for the previous year. But the problem is, you know, these grants are there, but they're not utilizing it to assist our community in terms of putting houses for them. Like Spingo Beach, I went there when all those 120 John Dolls were burnt, I went with a delegation there. We assisted with the people there. ANC came with the deputy mayor. They came with a full team of their people there to assist them in Dakota Beach. They put their own tent there and all that. I went there. I went from the top, Shafat. If you go from by the pool site where the road takes you on the top, where all the John Dolls are, Shafat, that view from there is even better than Amstanga or anywhere else in the country, resort you'll go to. That place is, you know, what a beautiful view you'll get there. But you know who's getting the view? The John Dollars are getting the sea view. What beautiful view. So those people should have been taken out. That prime land, you know, for us to see the beach, like where I went, where those John Dollars are, that is, you know, what millions of rand in terms of revenue for the city and the infrastructure of Spingo Beach to, you know, bring it, it will become like Cape Waterfront. That's how that area is. We can develop it. But because we got people that not ethical in the council, they don't want to do anything. Furthermore, I also know recently in the Overport area. DNA started the ANC rot to bring people and put them into these areas where they can get votes. So now that is another issue that we are facing with as well. So these are the, you know, the political parties are doing things where we support one side we cleaning and the other side, because they need the vote, they'll create an area where they'll put the journals there and the people need to vote for them. That's what's happening.
Yeah, and, you know, is this because of cadre deployment? You got individuals that are always, you know, playing checkmate to maybe a progress or, you know, we'll show them. We won't let them, you know, develop the country and so forth. Is there such a thing as, you know, let's be someone that will scuttle the boat, Ahmed?
So far, these cadre deployment, their days are numbered. They only got, I would say, 9 months from now, because election is around the corner. Those people that are in government, they know nothing else, but they only know how to work in government. And they're put in there for, you know, some of them, Shafat, when I go into council and I see them, they don't know answer to mother. I don't even think they know, some of them, how to read the X properly, how to read the system act, how to put a motion forward. Nothing they know. And this is how we got people in government there. And when you get people like the EFF coming into parliament, coming into the council with your regular overall, like builders or garden boys and all, they come into council with their red uniform and all that. Not ethical. You know what I mean? We are a civilized country. In Africa, we are the best country in Africa at one stage. I don't even think today Botswana overtook us. Some smaller countries are overtaking us. We don't have that say in, before anybody, you talk about Africa, they salute you. Today, nobody will even salute us.
Well, Ahmed, I'm making a lot of sense there. Looking at a message from Rashid. This is the other Rashid, he says. I'm Rashid from Kumas. Okay, Rashid. He says, Ahmed, I was reading recently that a business in Itikweni has asked for the removal of the Transnet CEO and other executive, and the CEO of Transnet being Portia Darby. Why is this so? And will she be removed? And has the Durban Chamber of Commerce and Industry the same power it had many years ago? Ahmed?
Shafat, there's a massive investigation in terms of Transnet at the moment. The SIU are involved in it as well. So in the next month or so, you're going to find there's a lot of changes that is happening in this thing. These people, as you said earlier on, these are deployed by the ANC to toe the line. And if you don't toe the line in government with the ANC, they remove you one time, or even in some cases, they shoot you dead. That's how they work. Now, after what, you know, Buthelezi, after, you know, he had a beginning of 95 years, now he's gone. There's already, as we already know, that flood is going to start between the IFP and the ANC was going to start in the next couple of weeks or so, because from what I gather, yesterday evening I did get a call from a few people that whenever the ANC Toparaki were speaking, the IFP were booing them. So that is another issue that we're going to be facing in the next couple of weeks as well. But problems are there. Now we need to attack them. Now, how can we attack them? These people, the ANC, the DA are there. DA is supposed to be the major opposition. Nobody is taking them head on. And then you get the smaller parties that are siding with the ANC because of various reasons and all that. So now that's where, and the EFF is in bed with the ANC. They got a pact going at the moment between the two. So that they know that coming 2024, there is no chance. And the writing is on the wall. You know, I was in Joburg for the last three, four days, and I was at the airport on Thursday evening. And, you know, my golf shirt says, "Let's fix South Africa." So all the whites used to come and ask me, "How are you going to fix South Africa?" And I told him, firstly, I said, "You're traveling to Durban?" He says, "Yeah, I'm traveling the same flight you're traveling." I said, "Okay, fine. I'll give you one scenario. you know the Richard Bay? Yes, I know Richard Bay very well. I said, you take Richard Bay, there's between 20 to 40 kilometers, you'll find only trucks there, over 200 plus trucks. A-grade coal is going off to overseas, that is going to China, all over the world, in also going to America, they're using our coal. And the world is telling us, do not use coal power stations because we want for environment and the climate change and all that. But yet they're taking our coal, A-grade coal, for international use. We're putting third-grade coal into our power station and we can't get power. We cannot power enough. We got coal here, Shafat. You won't believe it. We got coal here for 120 years, so it won't get finished. That's how much coal we got in this country.
A good point indeed. I like the analogy that you used, Ahmad. And as you said, you know, we're being duped into all these load shedding and all what's happening. And, you know, they say the West speaks with forked tongue. Looking at this message from, who's this? Shokat. Shokat says, Assalamu alaikum. Ahmad, what's going on with the China Mall in Durban when you come down the freeway? Was there another fire there? Are you all trying to bring that building down by making it into ashes? How you respond to Shokat? Was there another fire there?
Shokat, no, there was no fire there. That building after the fire, I think, is about 2-3 years now. And we got a court order. And that building has to come down because it actually, we cannot put, for the last almost two, 3 years now, still from the fire, we had that fire. We have to have security. We have to have on a 24-hour basis, Metro Police and all that. Because that building, everything is so burnt out so badly, even in that concrete, the steel work, you know, where you put your reinforcement, that is also bent and everything. So we have taken a high court order against the owners, and it's going to cost us in the region of about 30 million to bring that building down. So we got an order, but the problem is we face with, we got an order, we compel as a city to bring that building down. I'm saying to the city, we bring the building down, there is 8 directors to that company and all are Chinese. What will happen? We're going to bring it down, we're going to pay the 30, but whether we like it or we don't like it, we have to do it. Because end of the day, if that building comes down, it's going to affect a lot of people around there, and the road will close for a couple of weeks. So now we're in a catch-22. Now we have to bring that building down. Now, I'm saying to the city and to the top Raki in council, the mayor, the deputy mayor, the speaker, if we bring it down, fine. But that company, then they will liquidate themselves. That company will go into liquidation, yet you got a court order, and those Chinese are gone back to China. How are we going to recover our 30 million? So that is, we in a catch-22, we have to do it. So therefore, they closed it, I think, by section, they're bringing the building down now, Shafat.
Jazakallah for that update, Ahmad. I think very few, even the newspapers, are not carrying that story. Jazakallah khairah for that. This message says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad. Please tell us about the new rules for complexes, estates, and gated communities. Are there new rules for this, Ahmad?
Shafat, only the new rules in terms of the act makes it very, very clear. You know, where you cannot have the road closure. You know, like if you got, you know, so a lot of people, they're closing their road. Say you got the Dyker Road, you're closing it from one end to another. You cannot do that because it's supposed to have been open for emergency purpose, and you cannot deprive anyone from using the road. That is the only rule. There's no other rules in terms of where a complex. A complex is totally segregated. If you got 2,000 square meters and you got 50 apartments there, it is yours. You have your own boom there. You can do whatever you want there. There's no other laws that I know of. Because if there was a law passed, obviously I should have known, and I can tell you all exactly. There is a law. This is what the new law states. But in terms of the law is the area that the state. It is individually, privately owned. The people pay the levies there. and they will allow, they can even scan your vehicle and who's coming in, who's coming out. You cannot go, you know, they've got their system. I've gone to a lot of these states in Belito and all that. Before you even come, they'll have to give you a PIN. When you come to the gate, you give that, you press that PIN, then only the gate will open and the security will let you in and all that. That's how the whole system has been put into place, Shafat.
You know, it's a very sad that in a country that you have to live in gated communities. And, you know, if you can show statistics to the police station or to the law enforcement, for instance, you know, Spingo Beach maybe has one, two or three entrances and a cutoff time maybe after 10, the community or the, you know, suburb decides, you know, we're going to gate our community because of crime statistics. Will the government listen to mitigation or they'll say, no, this is a law. We don't care. You can have criminality or the criminals driving in your town at midnight and 2 a.m. Because who drives in your town at 2 or 3 a.m. with a minibus or with a truck? In most cases, it's a criminality. Talk to us, Ahmed.
Shabbat, there you got a very, very valid point here. But the problem is we face with, you know, the Constitution makes provision for a person can live anywhere, he can drive anywhere. So we need to make an amendment to the Constitution. Now, to make an amendment to the Constitution, obviously, you've got to back it up properly with the legal team. You have to do it. They'll have to come before Parliament. From Parliament, then it goes to Constitutional Court where that act now has to be revised. So that is our problem. So what you can do, you know, we can breathe by the city bylaws, and that will help instead of going through to Constitution. And then you can put up, you know, with the things that what is happening in the country at the moment in terms of safety and security, there is a way we can do it via the city to say, you know what, because of we show them the stats and everything, and then they will get city metro police, the SPS, you get the station commissioner involved, and you can back it up properly in that area. Then you say, okay, fine, we have reduced our crime rate by so much, and this is what we are doing. And you know, there's a partnership between the metro police, SAPS, and the community, and they will allow on those basis you can get an exemption.
Yeah, that's something to look into. Then you know, the other argument that comes, you find individuals, you know, passing schools or coming into a mosque yard or passing a churchyard, and you notice recently a lot of churches and mosques have been robbed at gunpoint, cars taken, and so forth. But if you confront a criminal, he says, "How can I be trespassing on a church property? How can I be trespassing in a mosque property? It's open to the public." There's a danger here, Ahmed.
There is, especially, you know, we get it into, you know, take our masjid to Shafa. A guy goes to one of the IDUCN or anything, he goes one, buy one kurta, is how much kurta he can buy, the cheapest kurta for under 100 rand, maybe you get it over 120, you buy a kurta. He puts it on, he puts a topi, and you know, you cannot say that fella is not a Muslim. He comes, he reads this namaz, and he knows just before namaz, before the namaz can finish, he goes and put 10 pair of shoes in his bag and he's gone. Khalas, this is what happens. And we found in our masjid, those guys, they're sleeping out and all that. Fajr time, they come there, they put the topi, they sit in the masjid and all that. Next, when the namaz starts, they go to our shower, in our bathrooms there, they go use the toilets, they use the shower, everything, they're gone, Shafa, they have a quick shower and they're gone. We've even caught up with that one too, Shafan. So, you know, there's a lot of things that happen. We need proper security. So, therefore, every masjid, and I think rightfully, every masjid should have at least a 24-hour security because that's what is needed. And you go to the community, when it comes to masjid work, tell me who is not going to, you know, if a businessman is, today business is bad, we all understand that, but you go to any one of our business men there and you tell him, you know what, I want it for the masjid. You know, the way you are giving towards the masjid, 2,000 rand, but I guarantee you will give you 500 rand towards the masjid, although the things are bad. And that's how you get your money for masjid, and, you know, people will never say no. And that's how you should, you know, get a proper armed guard there in all the masjid. And that's what I'm saying to all various masjid, even if it's a small masjid, to put a guard there, it makes it easier, because you know what? They come and steal your sound system, they come and steal a lot of shoes and everything. You know, this is the problem that we are faced with at the moment.
Yes, Ahmed, as you say, you know, many things that happen. And what do we do when, you know, you find these criminals are doing this to us and exploiting us? If we catch them, can they be charged? And, you know, maybe law enforcement, you know, are very sympathetic towards them. What do we do as a community?
Yes, Shafa, they immediately you get a case number and they get that you must charge them and don't leave them. Like the previous Friday, we had a roadblock in the Musgrave area. And sad to say, some of our Musallis got caught in the rush there. Now, you know, there's nothing I could do. My job was as a counselor to go and just observe, because they had Metro Police there, they had SAPS there, they had all the security companies there for backup. And then a lot of people saw that there's a roadblock. They took U-turns and they were moving. Few of them they chased, and there was we even recovered a stolen vehicle there. There was unlicensed firearms there. There was there's a whole lot of things that we found. You know, I'm not allowed to limit to say, but these are the things that when they have roadblocks, and this is what you have to do, especially in all areas. Write to the metropolis, tell him in my area, I want a roadblock, and you'll see once you have a roadblock once a month or every 2 months. Hey, people won't take a chance coming in your area as well. And there is provision made for all these things. You know, especially work with your your security people there, as well as your Metro Police there, your SEPs there, your station commissioner. You have to work. Today, you have to work together, and I promise you, things will start getting better in your area.
Now, Ahmed, you know, I'm looking at, you know, prospecting area very well. You know where Toyota is. Since Toyota put cameras and all the security around the, you know, the complex, we find that the criminals are running away from that area. Even, you know, these taxis, they avoid that area now because they don't want to be, you know, documented or camera. You know, this thing's got all the latest technology. Just by picking up the number plate, it gets the whole detail on the history of that the individual, or whether the car is licensed or not. And so they're moving into areas that are not, you know, security compliant. Talk to me about this type of scenario where the crooks are, you know, moving away. And if you get all your, you know, cameras all over and you have this type of security, where will they hide then, Ahmed?
Shafat, in fact, you know, to our listeners, let me warn you all well in advance. Every single camera previously you guys were saying that was not working. These cameras are not working. You're driving 160 kilometers an hour. But forget it. Those cameras are up in there from one side. Even you're coming from, or you're going to the airport, or you're coming back from the airport, and you'll see how those cameras are clicking at the moment. So they have already engaged with the good international company, and they put in good top brand cameras, and all our cameras will be starting to operate. So my suggestion is that, you know what, we have upgraded our control room at Metro Police, as well as SAP are going to, and they will find, especially they started in Cape Town, you saw any the security, because of, you know, the see right when you when they stop you in a roadblock or something, or they just stop you. You tell him, you know what, do something for me, boss. You give him 200 rand or 100 rand. That those days are over, because he's got a camera. He's got a camera on his by his pocket. So when he's talking to you, everything is recorded, and that has to go into the logbook every day, and they have a look at it. And the same system. It is also when the driver was stopped, they will already know this certain time this guy was stopped, and they can pick up at the control room everything. So that's the system in Cape Town. They have started. We have already starting to implement here in Durban. We first getting all our cameras on the roads and getting our control room to enable us to make sure our traffic flow is easy. because of load sharing, the congestion, and all, we'll know exactly which intersection we need to send assistance to Metropolis to alleviate the congestion and all that. So things are starting to happen now, Shukran.
Yeah, brilliant indeed. Farooq with the message. Yeah? Yes, Boniface, a little lower. Okay, the message is still coming in, Ahmad. But the name I can see, Farooq. Okay, there's it. It says, Ahmad Farooq and Shafat Ahmad Khan, Jazakallah Khair for a top show. I want to remind Ahmad that it's great for upgrading the equipment and getting all the best technology. But we need to upgrade the type of people that are running government, the type of people that are running all these institutions. They need a washout. We need to wash them out clean and bring in new brooms, because these are all the culprits that have caused decay and chaos in our country. Please, Ahmad, get rid of them first before we invest in equipment. That's a very good observation from Farooq there, Ahmad.
Mr. Khan, I agree with what Farooq has just said, but at the same token, we need to ask Farooq a very, very simple question. Has he voted, and also 2024 is around the corner, he is right to weed them out, get completely new blood into council, get new blood into the government, national government. Once you clean up from national, it will filter down to all the municipalities as well. He's, as far as that, what he has just said, I agree with him 100%. You have to start cleaning up. The days for the ANC government is numbered. They know that they're not going to. We are trying our utmost best to keep them under the 50% mark. That will help us to do a good coalition government and then take it from there. And that's the only way. But unfortunately, we have already tried coalition government in the municipalities. You know, coalition in this country is something new. It only started from 21 election. Previously, the ruling party was controlling and the opposition was there. Now, with all the other parties, and they're coming up, and they're taking a slice of the pudding. So that is where the problem is coming now. So they know for the fact that they're not going to make it. They're going to. That is the reason why Ramaphosa went to China. He went to America. He did go to now, went to Russia. He went to bring in money for the party, because what they want to do is they want to pay for votes here just to keep them in power, because they only know. The ANC only know to run government and loot from the government. That's all they know. They don't know anything else, Shafat. That is the problem we face with. As far as Farooq is concerned, yes, he's right. You have to start cleaning up. Don't put up millions of equipment when you still got the rats in the government.
Yeah, Mother. Hey, Farooq, you're making sense there. Ahmad, you know, straight talk. I really enjoy my Sundays with you, and I'm sure all the listeners do. Your parting words this morning?
Shafat, you know, with things are happening at the moment, the time is against us. We only got something in the region of about 9 months left. We you know, this is one time we need to start mobilizing the Muslim community to say, now is the time. Like how Farooq said, we want change. And we want change. People are cut full of the problems that they're going through. Water, sewage, electricity, potholes. You know, every day you hear the same broken record. You know, this is the problem. You know, my business is suffering because of this. But what we have to do is, in fact, some of the ulama say, no, you mustn't get into government because you become like them. Forget all that. Think about what he's going to do. If I was not in government and everybody thought, you know, no, let somebody else do it, and if you don't bring the right people, you won't get the right information. You need information to be filtered to the community to tell them, you know what, let's go into government. Work behind the scenes. For the last 35 years, I did the work behind the scenes, and I was getting things done. But now when I went into government, the scenario is different, completely different. Now I get first-hand knowledge of what they're doing, who is taking the money, who is stealing the money, what we have to do. There's so much of money for our Muslim members. Now, Shafat, I want to take 1 minute of your time. Rabiul Awal month has started. You know, there's so much of money for art and culture in Itigwini municipal and national government. You mean to say the legacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam we don't have? We can put up a mass milad or something, bring all speakers from all over the world. They will pay for it too because there's so much of money. Every other institution are taking that money, but not one. I spoke to Jamaatul Ulama. I spoke to all of this thing. I said, right, we will back it up. Bring it. We will back it up. We will give you that money. Do something. Put an institution under the auspices of religion, right of culture. These money available. The people are not coming, Shabbat.
Well, Ahmad, Allah bless you for your thoughts and giving us your advice. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.